From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. A Master of Business Administration is the graduate degree of leaders. An MBA program can be an incubator for acquiring the business and leadership skills you may never gain otherwise. And the best thing is, you don't need to take 2 years off of your game to earn one. The University of Utah David Eccles School of Business MBA online program is an internationally accredited online MBA that ranks top 10 in the U.S., but costs 30% less than other comparably ranked programs. Utah's MBA online features cutting-edge on-demand curriculum and weekly live web conferencing led by world-renowned faculty thought leaders. Learn with other experienced high-level professionals, executives, and entrepreneurs from around the world and complete your MBA online anytime, anywhere in as little as 24 months. To learn more and receive a University of Utah MBA online application fee waiver, visit utahmbaonline.com. Again, utahmbaonline.com. In the world of entrepreneurship, there's a lot of talk about company culture. How to create the right culture, how to make a strong culture, how to create the environment that people want to work at, and so on. And oftentimes that comes down to like, who's having fun? Is the office a cool space? Does it host parties? Blah, blah. But that's not really the core of culture. Culture isn't about fun and games. It's about people working together and respecting each other and sharing the same mission. And that means a good culture definitely does not sound like this.
Every time we went to ship a product, the legal guys would say no. The trust and safety guys would say this will be the end of the world, and the customer support people would say, there's no way we can have, you know, if you ship this, this is going to be a nightmare for our customer support folks. And so everything started to slow down.
That, believe it or not, is what it used to be like inside eBay. Imagine it, eBay, one of the early internet powerhouses, one of the companies that defined the tech industry as we know it. eBay culture used to be an absolute mess. And that voice you heard was Maynard Webb, who was hired during eBay's early days to be its president of technology and then got promoted at a very interesting and perilous time for the company.
eBay was exploding in growth and people. I had just been promoted to chief operating officer in 2002, and the first weekend on the job, we decided to buy PayPal. So that added a little bit of complexity to everything. And one of the things Meg had asked me to do when I became the chief operating officer is to fix several things, including expanding the culture.
The Meg he's talking about, of course, is Meg Whitman, then the CEO of eBay. You'll be hearing her name more throughout the episode. And fixing the culture would turn out to be a gigantic challenge for both of them. Fixing one company's culture is tough enough. eBay, at this point, it was booming and adding staff rapidly, and it would be difficult enough to get everyone on the same page. But then they just added PayPal's entire team. So now it wasn't just about establishing a culture, but merging two cultures into one. So Maynard dove into the project. He had lots of meetings, created lots of teams, tried to provide a new ethos for the people who made eBay and PayPal happen. But something just wasn't connecting.
Progress was made, and we had exec staff involved, but they weren't ever really bought in. And it never got inculcated well. And you can tell when things are going well because people talk about it. And this was one of those that started to just not get talked about and was dying on the vine.
But Maynard did not give up. This, it would turn out, would be just the beginning of his saga into culture, and it would go deep. In order to change how his employees felt, he'd need to change a lot about himself, too. So on this episode of Problem Solvers, that's what we're going to understand. Let's learn how to turn around a company's culture by following the story of how Maynard did it at a particularly difficult time for eBay and PayPal, and with the stakes very high. Because as you know, this is ultimately a very big success story. These companies continue to thrive, and Maynard forever changed the culture inside of them. Instagram. And by the way, Maynard has a new book. It's called Dear Founder, Letters of Advice for Anyone Who Leads, Manages, or Wants to Start a Business. It's very cool. You should check it out. And he's got so many lessons to share. So how did he turn around the eBay culture? We'll get into it all right after the break. FedEx delivers millions of packages around the world. But for FedEx, it's not just about packages or pallets. It's about what those deliveries mean for people. Whether it's rekindling a long-lost connection between old friends, a new business opportunity, or providing much-needed hope after a natural disaster in the form of relief supplies, FedEx delivers more than just packages. FedEx delivers possibilities. Find out more at fedex.com/possibilities. And now our second sponsor. Have you ever thought of learning a new language? It's kind of a game changer for an entrepreneur. You're able to connect with more potential partners, clients, customers, and travel more easily too. That's why there's Pimsleur, a conversational method of learning a new language. Pimsleur isn't a game or something you need to interact with a screen to progress through. It's an audio program, which you listen to like a podcast while you go about your daily tasks, running, cleaning, whatever. The program walks you step by step into a language, building your skills and having you repeat words and sentences back. I tried the first Spanish lesson, and it starts so simply with you just saying, excuse me, to someone. Pimsleur is used by the FBI, Homeland Security, State Department, Fortune 500 companies, and more, and the company says you can reach an intermediate level in just 30 days. But don't just take their word for it. Try the full course absolutely free for 7 days, risk-free. You don't have anything to lose by trying, but you have everything to gain. A new language, a new perspective, a new understanding of other cultures. To sign up, go to pimspeaks.com/solvers. That's pimspeaks.com/solvers. All right, we're back. So let's start at the beginning with what Maynard saw. Remember, this is 2002. eBay has just acquired PayPal, and Maynard has just become the chief operating officer, and eBay CEO Meg Whitman has tasked him with fixing the company's culture. So first thing he does is take a look at the problems, and it is problems. He sees many. For example,
everybody was passionate about what we did, but we had made a lot of top-down decisions, and we needed to find a way to let more people, as we scaled, make some of those decisions and still make sure we delivered everything we were trying to deliver.
All right. Definitely a problem. By making all those top-down decisions, the people lower on the chain didn't feel empowered or listened to, and therefore weren't part of a system where they felt they could even make decisions. That will ultimately create a lot of dead weight in your organization. And here's another one, which Maynard referenced at the beginning of the show. His teams weren't cooperating with each other. Rather than coming together to make a new product work, they were sitting around saying no to each other. Legal would say no, this doesn't work. The product team would say no, this doesn't work. And when Maynard tried to get them to collaborate early so that they were working out their concerns ahead of time, he got pushback.
They hated that, right? Because they'd much rather want to sit on the sidelines and come in at the last minute and say no.
And there was also just a general drift away from what the company originally stood for and what originally excited people about working there.
Everybody in the very, very early days knew we were onto something very special and felt it like that we had a holy obligation to make sure we didn't screw this thing up because it was magical. But as we got bigger, we kind of were moving away from those base values.
So, okay. Not everyone shares the mission, not everyone feels empowered, and there needs to be more collaboration. Good. These are tangible problems that can now be addressed. And so Maynard tries addressing them by creating teams. He created a culture team full of executive staff, and they'd meet regularly to go through research about how companies operate and ways to fix this and that. And he created a decision-making team that ultimately established this framework for decision-making that they called RASK, or R-A-S-K-E.
So who was responsible, who approves, who supports, who consults, who informs.
But this stuff just wasn't taking. The groups were clearly not enthused, and the decisions they made weren't radiating outward into the company. In fact, it was almost the opposite. Stuff they decide was just received as like a joke around the company. Maynard remembers a time when he heard someone say, oh, we didn't meet that deadline because now we care about work-life balance, which must have been something they heard out of one of those meetings. This, he realized, clearly wasn't going well, and he was getting frustrated. Then one weekend, Maynard stumbles upon something that would change the way he looked at culture and would ultimately change the company. It was a book that someone had just blindly mailed to the company, or so he thinks, and it was called Radical Change, Radical Results by two consultants named Kate Ludman and Eddie Erlandson.
And I picked it up, and it was about the Dell culture, and there were a lot of similarities to where we were, where people would say nice things in the meeting and then walk out and really say, oh, that was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard or whatever. And I was like, I wonder if they could help me.
Maynard saw a lot of his company and himself in what was described in the book. For example, the book details all these different personas that people at a company represent. Like, here are all the kinds of people who work at a company, you know, like different categories of people. And one of them was called Action Jackson. This is the person who just snaps into action the second they're asked to. And Maynard was like, hey, I'm Action Jackson, and we need more Action Jacksons because these are the people who get things done. But the thing is, there's a downside to Action Jackson.
And this is probably one of the reasons the culture went off the rails a little bit the first time. If you give me a task to do, I'm on it, you know, and I'm on it fast, and I am going to get it done. And maybe when you're an Action Jackson, you need to like pause just a little bit and think about it and make sure that you have alignment with everybody else.
Action Jackson needs to step back. Maynard realized that his action plan with all these various groups that were set up to fix the company culture weren't really designed in alignment with everyone else. And also, frankly, Maynard needed help. This wasn't a project he could do alone. Action Jackson, be damned, I guess. But admitting that is hard. But he needed to do it. He went to Meg, the CEO, and said, essentially, listen, I need help.
I think just asking and admitting that I needed her help, which is not easy to do when you get a brand new job and you're supposed to do this. And it was like, you know, I don't think what we've done so far is going to get us all the way home. And I think this, I need your charisma and your stature, and this has to feel like something you are so excited about.
That's a masterclass in getting help from a boss, by the way. I know whenever you go to a boss for help, it feels like you're essentially saying, I suck at this. Can you please bail me out? But that's not what it is. It's about acknowledging the power of the ultimate leader. The CEO is the leader, and Maynard wasn't the CEO. And that means he needed to go to the CEO and say, hey, you have a kind of influence and stature that'll be a game changer here. I need you. We need you. And Meg was on board. So here's the first thing that happened. Maynard brought in the folks who wrote that book, the one that he found just sitting around. That team became the executive coaches for Meg and Maynard and put them through what's called a 360. That means that the executive coach interviews everyone who works for Meg and Maynard and anyone who's impacted by their leadership and then produces a report about what they do well and what they could do better at. And this was important because, you know, the culture of a place ultimately emanates down from the leader. And so the leader really needs to be aware of what they're projecting and the workplace that they're creating. And for Maynard, the 360 revealed a few important weaknesses. And, you know, as you listen to him explain what he learned, which I'm going to play for you in a second, I want you to notice how a very, very little of it has to do with business fundamentals. It's about psychology and about how the way we think of ourselves and our status can impact the way we work and therefore the relationship that colleagues have to us. Okay, here's Maynard.
For example, at that time, a lot of people came to me to get to Meg, which didn't lead to great behavior. And I kind of liked that because I got to talk to Meg on all kinds of things, but really they should be going to Meg. And so I had to say my hearing aids are off and, you know, if you've got something, you've got to go see Meg and address it. And that way they had to be sure that they had to have something. For me, I also carried a lot of, I would just say, I came from very, very humble beginnings, and that bothered me because I had all these high-powered, unbelievably accomplished pedigree people around me, so I never talked about my background. And my coach basically said, you need to lose that. You're very accomplished now, and you need to tell your story, which was 180 from where I was, and so I started this whole thing of fireside chats where I'd go out and tell my story and lessons learned, and ended up in when I and I would tell a story about when you're on to integrity and how important it was to everybody, how you behave, and how when you're at the end of your career and you're sitting on a park bench, do people come over and give you a hug, or do they walk away? And that everybody you work with knows how they feel, and you know how you feel about everybody else. And so what are you doing to make sure you're more of a park bench person?
You can see now how deep you have to go to change a company culture. It isn't about ping pong tables and parties. It's about deep psychology and understanding what it really means to lead. After these 360s, eBay began developing a new program to improve its culture. Gone were the quick meetings and working groups that Maynard had first thrown together, Action Jackson style. Instead, the leadership of eBay decided that they were going to really dedicate a lot of time and resources to doing this thing right. It started with a steering committee made up of Meg, Maynard, the CMO, head of HR, and a few other senior execs. They'd all agree on new actions, and then they'd expand the meetings out to broader executive staff, and then the whole senior staff, then 600 people, then 1,000 people, each time bringing in more voices and perspectives, and also refreshing people on this company's journey and path and mission. Because, of course, a lot of the people working there weren't there at the beginning, and so couldn't have had that same sense of purpose. And these meetings contained, well, you know, Maynard describes some of the conversations there, and I think they're honestly a little hard to appreciate from the outside because they're really focusing on a lot of the values and ethos of what it means to work at eBay. I'll give you an example. They decided on what behaviors were most important at eBay. How should people define their behavior and what's expected of them and others?
We ended up with lead completely, practice judgment, and that lead completely included innovate and treat your people extraordinarily well and do some real work, not just be a manager. Practice judgment was all about, this is very, very complex, but you know the essence of who we are and what we want to do. Trust each other, because we had to learn to up our game there, and we couldn't do it all, so we had to trust other people to do it for us, and then keeping it human. We're going to make mistakes. Exercise forgiveness and go on.
See what I mean? And these meetings wouldn't all be condensed down into a short time frame because, you know, this wasn't a hackathon. A culture isn't developed the way a new product is. They'd be spaced out, sometimes months apart, to give people time to really consider what was said and what the impact would be. And there's another reason to have this conversation over a long period of time, which is this. It makes the conversation feel more fundamental. Like it isn't about one thing, one product, one decision, one disagreement. Remember how earlier in the show, Maynard was explaining how the different teams would all just say no to each other? The product team would be ready to ship something and legal would swoop in and say no and so on. Maynard realized it was pretty much worthless trying to have a conversation about process during any one of these individual fights because people were dug in on their issue. What needed to happen instead is to have a conversation that didn't feel like it was about any one specific thing, but just about all things.
And so one of the things we had to do to fix that was to say, okay, everybody tell us all your issues and we'll develop some principles. And as long as we hit the principles, we're shipping.
Get on the same page. Share the same goal. That's what a company needs from its teams. Now, listen, at the end of problem solvers, I usually talk about the outcome of a big change or fix at a company. Now they're doing X millions of dollars or whatever. But with culture, it's hard to say that, let's be honest. Eventually, Maynard and Meg felt like all this effort really changed the culture and enabled eBay to continue to grow and develop new products and expand and become the kind of platform where countless people run countless businesses. I mean, Maynard showed me this book that eBay had made to capture that culture process, and it was full of photos from all these colorful meetings and events where speakers like Howard Schultz from Starbucks would come and talk about operating a great team and so on. And eBay very obviously would continue to go on and become an e-commerce giant and expand internationally and acquire other huge names like Craigslist, Skype, and StubHub. So can I say right here, right now, that culture specifically led to all that success? I mean, no. But that's the thing about company culture. It's not one tangible thing. It just is. It's what works or what doesn't, you know? I asked Maynard to give some parting advice to entrepreneurs who are thinking about their own company's culture, and here's what he said.
Well, the first thing I'd say is if you haven't declared what your culture is at any stage of your company, you still have one. You just might not know it. And so you have to be overt in what your intentions are. Is it okay? Do you care about diversity from day one? Do you care about how you treat people? If you've got a bro culture and everybody has to be cool and in engineering, and when you add a salesperson, they're kind of uncool, or do you welcome everybody? So I would say be overt on what you're deciding to do, because even if you don't say anything, people know.
I think that's great advice. To create a good culture is to be self-aware. Your actions have impact. Your inaction has impact. So take a look in the mirror and ask, what am I projecting? And how will others follow? And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonpfeiffer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Pfeiffer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's again, jasonpfeiffer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.